Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, living Lord and King, holy and eternal, we worship and praise the wonder that one day we will be like Christ, resurrected, and we'll see you, the living God. So help us to see the glorious wonder that is to come and fill us with incredible, overwhelming joy this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You, each one of you is dearly loved. You are loved. You are loved by the Father in heaven. The Almighty and ever-living God loves you and wants to be in a living relationship with you. Full of compassion, full of grace, reaching out to you to respond to His beckoning call to come to Him. Come and believe Jesus is the Son of God, the crucified and risen one, the ascended one who sits at the right hand of the Father. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. This is John's gospel. Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. To those who receive Jesus, to those who believe Jesus is the Son of God, given to you is the right to become children of God. This is huge. This is life transforming. No longer a child of this world and of the powers of this world's kingdom. You have been changed and declared a child of the living God, with all the rights and all the privileges that come with being a child of God. This is huge. Forgiveness of sin, eternal life is yours, and much, much, much more. You shall be in the presence of God and see God as He is. Full of wonder, full of glory, full of compassion. You will see the Lord God Most High. You will see God because you are a child of God. And He is your Father. Father in heaven. We look around at life each day and we see the world around us and the injustices, the inhumanities, what humans are doing to each other, the suffering, the agony, it's all a part of this mortal experience and the powers of the kingdom of this world. The reality of these don't diminish, they don't disappear. They come unexpected, too soon, severe. But for those who know Jesus as the Son of the living God, something so wonderfully beautiful has already happened that the suffering and the agonies of this world can never take that away. You have become a child of the living God. You have hope in eternal life. You can have joy deep in your soul because you are redeemed and you shall one day be changed and become like Christ, never to die again. For just as he lives, you shall live. Just as he rose, you will rise. You will see God. We gloss over too quickly this fantastic truth of the wonder that will come because we are called children of God. The living God, creator of all there is, the holy wonder of all the righteousness, has brought you into his family by faith in Jesus Christ. You are adopted into the family of the living God. Salvation is more than forgiveness of sin. Salvation is more than the removal of the wrath of God towards sin through the blood of Jesus Christ. For salvation also brings you into the family of God. You become a child of the living God, a full member of the family of God, with all the rights and all the privileges of what it means to be a child of the living God. You have an inheritance in heaven. It's yours because you are a child of God. I remember being in first grade, and at that time I was so excited. It was about this time of year, and I was excited, and I was in first grade. And we're living in Bowie, Maryland. It was on Chelmont Lane, and it was in a ranch house. And Christmas time was coming. But that is not why I was excited. The ranch house, the way it was laid out, you walked into the front door, you can go down a hallway this way or a hallway that way, because there was a center square that had closets and utilities and all that in that center square. So you go this way to the living room and kitchen, or you go this way to the living room and down the hallway to the bedrooms and bathroom. But around this center square, we used to race each other. That was fun. But this time of year, we had pulled out brown packing paper. And on this brown packing paper, we drew pictures and painted pictures with tempera paint. And it was just an exciting time of year. My older brother, 2 years older, so he was third grade, I was first grade. And then our younger brother had just turned 2 years old. And so all of us were painting around this. Mostly my older brother and I were painting. You know, two-year-olds, they paint in their own way. Not much of a painter, but he was in his own way. But again, that's not why I was excited. What I was excited about, a new member would be joining the family. A sister would be coming to join our family. And I was excited. I was sharing it with everybody in first grade at school and anybody I could tell, I'm going to have a younger sister. She's joining the family. Those Christmas scenes that we had painted and hung on the wall around that rectangle walking thing, they made a difference in the process. The home visit that came was influenced by the faith and family life that was shown by us drawing these pictures of the Christmas story, the manger scene, the three wise men coming, the angels singing, and all those tempera paints with drips and also some finger painting too from my younger brother. But the home visit was influenced by seeing faith and family life because those paintings tipped the process in our favor. I found that out years later. I remember going downtown to Washington, D.C., and there we were standing around a baptismal font. Our pastor was there, and my mom and dad were there. My older brother, me, my younger brother were there. And there was a little baby girl, not born, but nearly 2 months old now. And there at the waters of baptism flowed over that little girl, and her name was given. We drove downtown, a family of five. We drove back home, a family of six. Excuse me. That little girl was now a Lee, my sister. Now, if this is the way I feel concerning adoption, how much more does the Father in heaven claim you as his own through adoption, making you his own child? How much more does God claim you as his child through adoption? You are his child. You are his own, as it says in 1 John chapter 3, the first part of the first verse. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Let that wonder sink in. Let that powerful truth sink in. I am a child of God. Let that truth sink in. I invite you to say that with me, that I am a child of God. All together, let's say, I am a child of God. That is such a powerful truth. You are adopted into the family of the living God. Do you realize how powerful and life-transforming that is to be a child of the living God? Say it together again. I am a child of God. What this means is more is taking place than redeeming and restoring what was destroyed by the fall. Yes, your sin is forgiven. Yes, redemption and restoration has taken place. But more than that, you have been adopted and brought into the family of God. Consider this. If you are adopted into the family of God, as I love my sister who joined the family through adoption, we ought to love each other as brother and sister because we are family. This highlights one of the massive misconceptions in today's world. A person says they love Jesus. They say they're born again. And at the same time, ask them if they have a church home. And the answer comes back in some form of, I don't have to go to church to love Jesus. I don't want anything to do with the church. Oftentimes the answer comes too. So I ask, how can you love Jesus and at the same time hate the bride of Jesus Christ, which is the church? How can you love the living God, be adopted into the family of the living God, when you hate your brothers and sisters who are the family of God, who make up the church? Ponder this. Really think about it and let it sink in. If you love Jesus as the Christ, you will love the church, which is the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, which is you and me, brother and sister, who make up the church, which is the bride of Christ. So as I learned to love my sister as family, we love each other as family, because we are children of God. And this is an incredibly powerful truth. The rest of verse 1, 1 John chapter 3, the rest of verse 1. For this reason the world does not know us, because it did not know him. As children of God in the family of God, we are to be different than the world around us. Our uniqueness comes from being in the Father's family. And the result of that being different is the world will not recognize why we do what we do, how we love, how we show compassion, because they don't know our Father. And there will be persecution from that.
Gospel of John, chapter 15. Our Lord Jesus told beforehand what would happen. Verses 18 and 19. Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 18 and 19. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. Too much of what claim to be the church, and too many Christians are trying to get the world to love them. And by getting to get the world to love them, they unsin things. Say, that's no longer a sin. So they could be more welcoming and be more open-minded and tolerant and don't be judgmental. We are to love the people lost in the world. But we're to love them in a way so that they come to know Jesus Christ and experience the same redeeming power you and I have experienced. It is not love to lie to them about what the Word of God teaches about sin. It is not love to change what God has proclaimed as truth in His Holy Scriptures. The Word of God sometimes is meant to make one uncomfortable so as to bring about repentance and believe Jesus is the Christ. If a false gospel is preached just to make them feel good and make them feel welcome and make them feel loved, how will they ever come to know the real Jesus, the Son of God, and repent and believe and become a child of God like you are a child of God? Dear friends, 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. That second verse beginning, dear friends, really does not carry the meaning of the Greek agapetos, beloved. Agapetos, you hear agape in that? Agapetos, you are beloved, dearly loved. And the reason John writes beloved, because as believers, believers are dearly loved of God, and as believers, you are children of God, and you are dearly loved. So beloved children of God, what we see now is not what we will be. We are still in our mortal bodies. Bodies that grow older, and one day bodies that will die. We are mortal. We have not put on immortality. Yet we have hope, for we know this immortality is coming. When Jesus appears, we will be like Him. As Jesus rose to never die, we too will rise to never die. The resurrection of the dead is coming. The resurrection of the dead is coming. It is coming soon. All our loved ones who have gone before us will rise to the promise that they have in Jesus Christ. We will be gathered together on that great day, and we will see Jesus as He truly is, full of His glory. As it's written in John chapter 17, verse 24, Father, I desire that they also, whom You have given Me, be with Me where I am, so that they may see My glory which You have given Me. For You loved Me before the foundation of the world. We will see that glory Jesus prayed for in John chapter 17. We shall see the fullness of Jesus' glory. Now I want you to remember, Jesus has not and he never will shed his humanity. The mystery of the incarnation, God becoming flesh, that is for all eternity. Jesus appeared to the disciples, as Luke records, Luke chapter 24, verse 39. This is the resurrected Jesus. He says, "See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." The resurrected Jesus was still human, flesh and bone. Verse 41, Luke chapter 24, verse 41, Jesus even asks for something to eat, and they gave him broiled fish, which Jesus, in their presence, sat and ate. The resurrected Jesus ate in their presence. Neither did Jesus shed his humanity at the ascension. The Son of God is and always will be fully human, fully God. Just as Jesus rose with a resurrected body, you and I and all the saints who've gone before will rise with resurrected bodies, never to die again. As it's written in Revelation 21, every tear will be wiped from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning or crying or pain. All that has passed away, and God has made everything new. So when Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, theirs is the kingdom. They will be comforted. They will inherit the earth. They will be filled. They will be shown mercy. They will see God. They will be called sons of God. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Great is your reward in heaven. Jesus was teaching about being the children of God, being part of the kingdom of heaven that had come, and also that the full blessings of the kingdom of heaven in all its fullness you have looked forward to. There's only one way to become a child of God, and that is to believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The love of the Father gave the Son to die for sin. There's no other way to heaven, no other way for sins to be given, to be forgiven, no other way to become a child of God. It's only those who believe Jesus was sent from the Father and he is the Son of God. To those, they have the right to become children of God. And you who believe, you are a child of God. Do you understand the fullness of what that really means? You are in the family of God. You have an inheritance in heaven. You will live forever in the very presence of the living God. You will see God in all his glory. You will see the Son, that fully man, fully God, in all his glory. You will be surrounded with all the loved ones, all the children of God, all the saints from the ages past and the ages forward. All will be risen. All will be in the presence of God. Do you understand what it means to be adopted into the family of God? It's incredible. It's life-changing. It's life-transforming. And it's filling you with hope and joy and life. And life. So my brother and my sister in Christ, beloved of God, know that precious thing you are as a child of God. And live. Live with all that joy that is yours because of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen and amen.